Well, you know, Christmas time is a time where we get caught up in a whole lot of pageantry, is it not? You know, a lot of things happen at Christmas and we don't even think about it. Well, for example, one of the things, you know how that in paintings and so forth, you know, there's the manger scene and there's Mary and Joseph and you got all the animals and the wise men. Well, you know, the wise men weren't there. The wise men were not present at his birth. They didn't show up until he was about 2 years old. But not only that, the star, you know how they show that the star, you know, big bright star over the manger and there's this point that's coming down right above the manger. That's not true.
Yes, too, Brother Martin, I saw the painting.
No, it's not true. Because if that star had been right over that manger, the wise men would never have gone to Herod and asked, "Where is he?" Remember that? Brother Martin, you have an excellent way of destroying all the happiness that I have. All my traditions. You know, think about it. We as Christian parents, by golly, we do a good job raising our children. And we tell them, now listen, God loves you and you need to go to church and all this other and try to instruct them in the things that they're supposed to do. And we remind them, you know, now Johnny, don't lie. You always have to tell the truth because, you know, the Ten Commandments. You know, just tell me the truth, Johnny. Just tell me the truth. You'll be in worse trouble if you lie. You're always, God's watching all the time. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. You know, just drill that into the kids and until Christmas time. And then we supplant our own doctrine and talk about some fat guy in a red suit bringing presents and putting them under the tree. Johnny, you got to go to bed now. Honey, did you hear that? It sounded like bells, didn't it, out there somewhere? Johnny, you better go to bed. He won't show up if you don't go to bed. And, you know, so, okay. So the kids go to bed, and Mom and Dad look at each other and kind of wink. Then the presents the next day, and little Johnny and little Susie come running down the steps, and, oh, well, he was here. He was here. And we don't think anything of it. Lie through our teeth to our kids, and then beat the tar out of them for lying. Where's the logic in that? I still remember, I still remember the day I was told that the fat guy in the red suit wasn't real. I was absolutely devastated. I couldn't believe Kathy would lie to me like that. It was terrible. The worst Christmas of my life. I got over it. Hallelujah. It was getting kind of old, though. You know, there you are. Got your own beard and sitting on the guy's lap in the department store telling him what you want. It's even worse when they have security coming all you out. Well, I'm glad I got all that cleared up. Hallelujah. But you know, there are a lot of things about Christmas that are good and a lot of things that maybe aren't as good as what they could be. And this message today, it's probably not going to be what you would call deep calleth unto deep. But it is going to be a message that's going to correct a whole lot of wrong things that are taught about Christmas. Now there are Christians out there, and there may be people listening to this message now. I mean, maybe even this room, I don't know. But there are Christians out there who are just almost militantly opposed to anything as far as a celebration is concerned relative to Christmas. They don't want trees anywhere. They don't want decorations anywhere. They don't do presents. They don't do anything. You know, they'll probably sing the songs, but other than that, I mean, it's just, it's almost like the day doesn't exist. You know what I'm talking about? And a lot of people are like that, and when you try to have discussions with some of these folks, you know, you either better be ready to, you know, verbally duke it out, or you just better back off. because they'll jump on you like stink on a skunk. And if they think that you're a part of the decoration bunch, you know, they'll... In fact, in doing a lot of research on this, there are actually Christians out there that will pretty much accuse you of being involved in Satan worship if you do the decorations and the presents and the so on and so forth. And one of the things they talk about is how that everything we do at Christmas, it all has pagan origins. All of it has pagan origins. Well, does it or doesn't it? Yes, it does, Brother March, because I went to a website and I... No, well, stop right there. Stop. You went to a website. Is that right? Yep, I did. Well, so did I. But I went to more than one website. And I'm telling you right now, there are some websites out there put together by some Christians who are off the deep end when it comes to this Christmas stuff. I mean, it's weird. One person actually referred to it as Satanism. All the celebrations... one person basically, to sum up the message in what they had written, the celebration of Christian of Christmas is extremely anti-Semitic and hateful toward all Jews. I mean, it's just on and on this stuff goes. So I'm telling you right now, you can't just read one website and get the truth. I've seen some things on internet on some websites that looked really good, but they had missed it. There wasn't as much truth in what they were saying. Let's take a look at some of these things. One of the things that they'll tell you is that December 25th is not the date of Jesus' birth. Well, I agree with that, okay? And there's no way that we can actually pinpoint it to the day. A lot of people have tried. I don't know why that matters. I don't know why that's so important. But some people have tried to pinpoint it to the day. December 25th is not the actual day that Jesus was born, but it is the day that we celebrate and recognize his birth. Well, one of the reasons that a lot of Christians are very upset about December 25th being used as the date that we celebrate the birth of Jesus is because that date, December 25th, was used as a time of pagan worship. And there are a couple of things that I found out. It was a time of worship. The Romans referred to it as Natalis Solis Invicti, and I don't know if I pronounced that correctly or not, but it was the Roman celebration of the birth of the unconquered sun, S-U-N. And there was also, the Persians had a celebration relative to the birth of Mithras. It was the birth of the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Now, here's what's interesting. If you go back and you study all, and there aren't that many, but there was a Babylonian thing that took place in worship of another god. But what's interesting is that in all of these pagan celebrations, all of them that I have been able to uncover so far that took place at the December 25th time, every single one of them has something in it that you're going to read it and something's going to, inside will think, no, wait a minute. There's something in the Bible about that relative to worshiping God. In other words, it's been paganized, but its source, now listen to me, its source has something to do with God. In fact, the whole thing about that Persian celebration, the S-U-N of righteousness, studying the Old Testament, there are references to Jesus like that. And yet, they didn't understand what they were doing. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. If you take a look, okay, here, think of it this way. Adam and Eve had three sons that we know of. Cain, Abel, and Seth. Cain kills Abel. Out of his lineage comes a whole lot of pagan worship. His dad walked in the cool of the evening with God. His dad saw God. Are you with me? And yet in one generation we end up with pagan worship. Same thing that happened when Noah and his boys came off the ark. One generation. They took the things that they had learned from daddy relative to worshiping God and began to paganize it. Where do you think the whole concept of sacrifice came from? Well, those pagans, they sacrificed it. Yeah, but where'd they get the idea? It goes all the way back to Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and God made cloaks, coats of the skins of animals for them. That was the first sacrifice. So this whole thing with December 25th, yes, there were pagan forms of worship that took place at that time. Well, what happened? The early church fathers, now these, I'm not talking about the apostles, this was after them. The early church fathers, right about before 300, they're looking at this and they're tired of it. They're tired of all this attention being given to all these pagan gods. So they started talking about, we need to do something to try and correct this. And so they decided that what they were going to do was declare December 25th as a day of recognition of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason they did that was not so they could celebrate with the pagans. And this is where a lot of Christians have messed up. They just wanted a right to get drunk. No, that's not what happened. What they were doing, they sat around and they saw all the drunkenness and sin that was taking place at this time, and they wanted to do something to try to turn the tide on this, so they decided they'd make December 25th the day that they recognized the birth of Jesus and celebrated the birth of Jesus to counteract the pagan worship. And then when Constantine came along and gave his Edict of Toleration and made Christianity the official religion for the Roman state, Christmas was officially celebrated, officially recognized, December 25th, officially recognized for the first time in 336. It became, if you will, a national holiday at that time, and the purpose was to divert attention away from all the pagan celebrations and direct people's attention to the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how December 25th came about. That's how it ended up that we began to celebrate the birth of Jesus on December the 25th. They were trying to draw people's attention away from paganism. It wasn't to join with the pagans. It was to try and divert people's attention away from it. Okay, well, what about the Christmas tree? There are people that say the Christmas tree is a form of pagan worship. Well, it can be. How many of you know what a totem pole is? Totem poles have the faces and, you know, gods and so forth carved in them, and they're carved out of a tree. Okay? That's one example. So, yes, and trees have been worshipped. What's interesting is that oak trees and pine trees, evergreens, have been worshipped more than what I've been able to find any other two types of trees in pagan cultures. I don't know why that is for sure. I mean, anyway. So people say, well, if you put up a Christmas tree, what you're doing is you're joining in with that pagan form of worship and so on and so forth. That is not true. Right about 1500, Martin Luther was in Germany. It was a cold winter's night. It was around Christmas time. It was in December. And as he's walking out through the woods, he looks up. It's a clear night. And when he looks up, he could see all these stars. Now, if you've never been out in the middle of nowhere on a clear, dark night, you don't know what stars look like. I can remember when I did, when our youth group went out to South Dakota and we did a vacation Bible school one summer for the Sioux Indians out there. We stayed on this farm, part ranch. And you talk about being out in the middle of nowhere. We were out there. And at night, we could lay down in the grass and look up. And, I mean, you could see stars. It looked three-dimensional. It was absolutely incredible. You can't see stars like that here. I don't care where you are in this area. You have to go way out somewhere in the middle of nowhere to be able to see stars like that. Well, you know, back in the 1500s, they didn't have electricity and so forth. So he's out walking, and he looks up through the trees, walking in the forest, looks up through the trees. And he said it looked like that all the stars were resting on the branches of the trees. And it excited him, and he said that it reminded, I want you to see this passage of Scripture. Look over in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, because he said it reminded him of this particular passage of Scripture. Isaiah 14, verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. And because it reminded him of this verse and what he saw, he went back home and he got small candles and began. He cut down a tree, a small tree, took it home, put it in the living room. He's trying to tell his wife and kids what he saw. And he puts these candles on there to try and replicate what he had just seen when he was outside. The Christmas tree was not about pagan worship. Pagans worship trees. Pagans worship fish. Okay? But you still go to Captain D's, don't you? You still go to Red Lobster, don't you? You see what I'm saying? The pagans worship trees. Absolutely. But let me ask you a question. Who made the trees? God. The pagans worship the creation rather than the creator. When Luther did his thing with the tree and the candles, what he was trying to do was draw attention back to the creator and what it represented to him. Well, it began to catch on. And it took quite a while, but eventually it began to catch on, this whole thing of the Christmas tree. Now, you don't have to have a Christmas tree to celebrate Christmas. We know that. But what I'm saying is, the Christmas tree was not birthed out of a pagan form of religion. The pagans didn't decorate the Christmas tree like Luther did. Luther did it because it reminded him of Scripture and the majesty of God's creation. That's why he did that. Well, over time it began to catch on, and now, you have not just... We don't use candles so much anymore, but the electric lights and the decorations and all the... it's really gone way beyond, and really, with some of the decorations and so forth, I guess it's hard to figure out how it acknowledges Jesus Christ. But the thing is, why are we putting the tree up in the first place? Now think with me. Because it is Christmas, right? If you had no Christ, you would have no Christmas. We're putting the tree up in celebration of Christmas. You see this? Not some pagan form. I'm going to let you in on a secret. When it comes to putting up the tree at our house, yes, we have one. Kathy does it. All the work. Now, I've helped a little bit from time to time, but she does it. You say, well, gee whiz, Brother Martin, you're sort of a cad, aren't you? Why don't you help your poor wife? I tried one time. Are you going to help me decorate? Okay, all right, fine, I'll help you decorate. So, all these different types of ornaments, a lot of them handmade, and she's putting them up there, and okay, I think you just put them on the tree, right? I didn't know they had special places on the tree. So I put, there's that one, and hang that one there. No, that one doesn't go there. That one goes over here. And that one, no, that one doesn't. And this one goes over here. It's like, I quit. This is going to take twice as long. How about it? I'll watch you and tell you it's beautiful when it's done. Hallelujah. Well, we put up the Christmas tree and decorate it because it's Christmas time. To honor Christmas. And when we're doing that, when she's doing that and I'm watching, we're not worshiping that tree. Are you with me? And we don't carve little faces in the side of it. No, we put it up because it's Christmas time and we're celebrating Christmas to recognize Jesus Christ. Well, what about the whole thing of parties and giving gifts? A lot of people, they are just, the whole thing of partying around December 25th, that goes back to the pagan forms of worship and the giving of gifts. That was a pagan thing, and you can't do that now because if you do, it's just the same thing as being a pagan and worshiping pagan gods and on it goes. Okay, well, let's think about this. It is true, absolutely true, that at this time there were pagan celebrations that took place that got absolutely raunchy at times. And they did give gifts to each other. In fact, the Romans commemorated the dedication of the Temple of Saturn, and it was referred to as Saturnalia. And this took place from December 17th to the 23rd or the 24th. And it was a very It was, in fact, what happened is, if you do some research on Saturnalia, what you're going to find is that during that week, Rome essentially lifted the laws against anything. And you could do whatever you wanted to. I'll just mess up your Christmas carols here. You know how people go door to door and sing Christmas carols? Would you like to know why they go door to door to do that? Seriously, I'm going to tell you why. This is it. This is going to mess you up. It's because during the celebration of Saturnalia, people would remove their garments and go house to house singing lewd songs. So to counter that, Christians would go from house to house with garments, singing songs about Jesus. That's how that custom originated. Well, during this Saturnalia celebration, and you've got to remember, back in these days, Rome ruled the world, you know, the modern world, if you will. They would give gifts to each other to celebrate the dedication of the Temple of Saturn. Well, what happened, remember, the early church, their goal was to get people's attention away from the paganism. That's what they were after. You're not going to stop the people from giving presents. So what do you do? You ever heard the term, if you can't beat them, join them? That's right, they joined the pagans. No, what they did was turn around and start giving gifts to each other to commemorate the gift that God has given to us of Jesus Christ. The gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? It had nothing to do with, let's participate with this pagan. Now, I know this. There are Christians who would hear what I'm sharing with you today, and just the hair on the back of their neck would begin to stand up. They could feel their face getting red. They would be infuriated with me. Some might even go so far as to send me letters, and you're wrong. I'm not wrong. You need to dig in and do the research that I have done, and you'll find, yes, I admit, there was pagan stuff going on at that time. But the church fathers were trying to get away from the paganism and turn this thing around to recognize Jesus Christ. They were trying to get people away from worshiping false gods to worshiping the real God. That's how this process all got started. Well, with the whole gift-giving thing, look in Luke chapter 2. The parties and the giving of gifts and so forth, well, you can't do that. That doesn't recognize Jesus. Then why are we having the party? It's a Christmas party. It's not a pagan party. In Luke chapter 2, take a look here at what's happened. Just begin reading in verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now, I don't know about you, but now think with me. The glory of the Lord shone all over them, right? Shone round about them. The glory of the Lord illuminated where they were, if you will. See that? So why should we put up a lot of Christmas lights? To try to simulate the glory of the Lord of verse 8. See this? Nothing pagan about it. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings of great joy. I don't see too many people moping around when there's great joy. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, having a party, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You think there was a celebration going on? Listen, the whole concept of celebrating on the day of Jesus' birth originated with God. So to turn around and say it's wrong to celebrate on this day is wrong. God's the one that started this thing off.
We just follow up on it. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. This thing made such an impression on them. They said, let us leave our flocks. I'm adding this in now, because that's what they had to do. Let us leave our flocks. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now look at this. Verse 17. They made known abroad the saying which was told them. Who told them anything? The angels. They're going around and they're telling people what God has just revealed to them by the angels. The Son of God has been born this day. Angels showed up. They were singing and praising Him. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. And man, the people wondered, what in the world are these? What? Wow. But again, the whole focus was on Jesus. The very first, on the day of His birth, there was a celebration. The angels were in on it. It's almost like God is saying, now look, you want to know how to commemorate my Son's birth? Here's the first birthday party. Sing, worship, praise. And what do we do when we sing our songs? So many of them are centered on Christ, on Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Now, I know we lose a little bit when we start singing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. There's not a whole lot of Christmas Jesus in that one. But what I'm saying is, most of the songs that we get together and we sing are about Jesus. In other words, we are doing a paraphrase of what these angels did here with these shepherds. And look back over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1.
And what's happened, you know, Jesus was born, 2 years go by, the wise men show up, and they ask, okay, now where is he that's born, the king? We've seen a star. And then Herod, you know, he's trying to figure out what all these guys are talking about and so forth. And it says in verse 9, when they, the wise men, had heard the king, they departed, and lo, a star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now remember, this is 2 years after his birth. This is not at the manger. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave him gifts. So they commemorated and honored Jesus. They weren't celebrating his birth. They were celebrating his kingship. But they gave him gifts. Now, some people could say, well, yes, but that was giving Jesus gifts. And we're giving gifts to each other, drawing the focus away from Jesus. Okay, I'll admit that over the years, this whole thing has lost a lot of its value. But the whole concept of giving gifts was to point people in the direction of the gift that God has given to us. The gift of life, the gift of salvation, and so on and so forth. The gift of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It's not a pagan thing to give somebody a gift for the purpose of commemorating the birth of Jesus. Problem is, we just don't do it like that anymore. If we would go back and do it the way it's supposed to be done, I want to give this to you. It's just a symbol of how much God loves you. He gave the gift of Jesus. Now I want to give this gift to you. Yes, but again, Brother Martin, they gave those gifts to Jesus and we're giving gifts to each other. Yes, but I remember something about Jesus saying, if you've done it to the least of them, you've done it unto me. Now, I know somebody would say I'm ripping Scripture apart on that one, but the point I'm trying to make is this. If our focus in our gift giving at this time of year is to try to help people understand about Jesus Christ and the gift that we have in Him that God has given to us, gift giving takes on a whole different perspective. It takes on a whole different meaning. It's not just a matter of spending money to try to put a smile on somebody's face. You're spending money and buying something or making something or whatever it is you do to give it to somebody to try to put them in remembrance of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Well, here's what's interesting. The church has been very, very successful from going all the way back to about 270, 273, 275, up until now,
The church has been extremely successful in turning this time of year completely around. When's the last time that you heard of the celebration of Saturnalia? When's the time that you heard of the celebration of the Persian God, the Son of Righteousness? When's the last time that you heard of any of these other pagan forms of worship taking place this time of year? What do we see instead? This whole time of year is wrapped around Jesus Christ. In other words, December 25th has been reclaimed for God. We've turned this thing. Now, I know there are Christians out there who say, yes, but there's still a lot of... I don't disagree with you. There's a lot of junk that goes on. Christmas parties where people get drunk and all this other. I'm not disagreeing. The point I'm trying to make is, in fact, even this word Christmas, it comes from the Old English and the Middle English words, Christmas or Christes Masse, which means Christ's Mass, which literally means a commemoration and celebration of Christ. So in other words, the very word Christmas is talking about a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. So what we've done is, it's taken, a couple thousand years, but what we've done is we have finally gotten to the place to where this time of year, it's about the birth of Jesus. Now, I know people try to take Jesus and Christ and all this other out of, happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. I understand that. The point I'm trying to make is, it's no longer recognized and celebrated in paganism. It's been turned around. Do you understand the same thing could be done for Halloween? If the body of Christ would focus on turning it around the way the body of Christ focused on turning December 25th around. They redirected the focus away from the pagan gods and onto the God of gods, Jesus Christ. And now look what we have. Sure, there are a lot of imperfections about this. But here's something I want you to think about. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the days, did He not? None of those days were designated for the devil. None of them. What I'm saying is this. When we know that putting up the Christmas tree and putting up the lights and the gift giving, all of this that we do is in celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, what we're saying is, this day does not belong to Satan. This day belongs to God. And that's who we worship. And there are a lot of Christians that are missing this. Man, what a perfect time of the year to be a witness for the world. All your lost friends celebrate Christmas. Well, do you celebrate Christmas? Oh, we don't do that. Well, why not? Well, it's pagan. It's all pagan. Oh, I get it. You're telling me I'm a pagan. Tomorrow you're going to tell me about Jesus that loves me. But today you're telling me I'm a pagan. Come on, man. Open your eyes. See what you're doing. If you don't want to join in the celebrations, don't. If you don't want to put up a tree, don't. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with not doing that. But when you keep pointing to Satan and saying it's all paganism without knowing the true history of what happened, you're missing it big time. This time of year, it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the celebration of the birth of salvation. It's a celebration of the birth of righteousness. It's a celebration of the birth of sonship unto God. It's a celebration of the birth of our salvation. It's a celebration of the birth of peace. It's a celebration of the birth of healing. It's a celebration of the birth of our eternity in heaven with God. It's the celebration of the birth of everything that God's made available to humanity through Jesus Christ. It all got born into this realm on that day that Jesus was birthed into this world. And then He sealed it for us on the cross. Praise God. Is it a pagan thing to celebrate Christmas? No. Not when you understand how this celebration came about. When you understand it, God's the one that made the trees. God's the one that made the days. God's the one that made the lights. He did it all. We're just using it to glorify Jesus. It's not about a pagan thing. You can make it that if you want. Brother Martin, I just don't agree with you. Well, that's okay. I've done my research and you haven't. That's nothing personal. That just means you won't be coming by my house, so I don't have to fix anything for you to eat. Hallelujah. I can reduce the coffee in the pot by one cup. Save my eggnog. Hallelujah. Non-alcoholic eggnog. Hallelujah. Now, the point I'm saying is this. Don't go off the deep end on this. If you don't want to put lights and trees and do the presents, that is your choice. You're not dishonoring. But this is a tremendous opportunity to honor the one who gave his life for you. Listen, everybody is open to hearing Merry Christmas right now. So why not take advantage of it and use it to speak Christ into the lives of people who need him? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I feel better now about it than I ever did. Because I understand more about it than I ever did. And that means every time that you give me a present, I'll be thinking of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody stand.